The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But she's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be, because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And so she should not get it?
If she really has the flu, she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine. If she really has the flu.
She should not get it again?
No, she doesn't need it, because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
Of course, that's from many, many years ago. That's pre-2019. It's probably back in the early 2000s. I don't know the exact date there. But there he is saying, look, the best vaccine is if you get the infection yourself. Fauci announced earlier today that he's going to be stepping down this December, just right before Republicans are expected to gain control of Congress, at least the House. And how convenient for him to walk off into the sunset right before all of the investigations into that man's funding of the Wuhan lab. Pretty amazing. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the live video stream, however, you've got to go to our very own website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you right to the live stream page. And also we post the podcast after the fact at that same page, so you can catch up on your TD viewing. We're off and running on another week of broadcasting here in Edmond, Oklahoma. We appreciate you joining us for today's show. Dr. Fauci, of course, he recently said that he's come to symbolize consistency. Of course, what he says about vaccines and COVID in the last 3 years, very, very different from that clip, that blast from the past. Listen to Fauci more recently, clip 12.
It's called the Fauci effect, which is sort of like, you know, as... Trust me, I don't get excited about that. I mean, it's nice, but I mean, people go to medical school now. People are interested in science, not because of me, because most people don't know me, who I am. My friends know me, my wife knows me, but people don't know me. It's what I symbolize. And what I symbolize in an era of the normalization of untruths and lies and all the things you're seeing going on in society from January 6th to everything else that goes on, people, the craving for consistency, for integrity, for truth, and for people caring about people.
Yes, people are craving for consistency. And this is what he's come to symbolize. So says Dr. Fauci. I mean, the hubris of these experts to just go on and, I mean, speed it up a little bit. To just go on and on in this age of untruths and, you know, the attack on January 6th, I have come to symbolize consistency, integrity, and truth. And as I've said before, if you have to come out and tell people over and again how truthful you are, that's a pretty good red flag right there, that you struggle with the truth. That you're in fact someone who's come to symbolize dishonesty and inconsistency. Listen to him. These are serious issues that no doubt, I hope anyway, Republicans will investigate. The funding of that Wuhan lab. The United States government funding the Wuhan lab that generated, that made the COVID virus, man-made. Fauci's people, Fauci's groups, Fauci's agencies had a hand in creating it. And listen to him as he just kind of passes it off as a big joke. That's what he wants it to be. No investigations. It's just, we just need the material for some good jokes from time to time. This is clip 11.
We're at the epicenter of the initial outbreak. WA1, Washington 1, is considered the ancestral model strain.
I developed the ancestral model strain. I created it.
That's right. You let it loose.
I was in my kitchen.
You let it loose. Yeah. Right. Okay. Gain of function. Here we come. Right. You're making arancia, Italian meatballs, and that's a gain of function.
Okay. I like to have a good laugh from time to time, but it's very, very upsetting for me to hear them make light of something that has hurt, killed millions and millions. And then adding, we'll get to the vaccine here in just a moment. The vaccine, just adding insult to injury, the cure being worse than a disease, as we said back in May of 2020. But just looking at it alone, just look at COVID alone and the people that have died from that disease. And there they are, gain of function, the Wuhan lab, and the fact that the U.S. government funded it. This really is shameful. You would think they'd be so embarrassed. You would think they'd run from the cameras. But he doesn't. I'm sure the books will be coming next after he steps down. And he'll be there to tell us how he's a man of integrity, a man of truth, and a man of all things, a man of consistency. You know what he said about masks early on. They don't do anything. I mean, that was in early 2000, or 2020, I mean. Just a couple years ago. And then listen to what he said again, more recently, clip 13.
When you tell people they need to mask in an indoor congregate setting when you're in a zone that has a high dynamic of infection, and that is looked upon by a lot of people, not everybody, as an encroachment on your freedom. We've never had that before. It's almost inexplicable.
You notice how they just flip it in reverse for people to complain. We've never had that before, he says. What we've never had before are these mandatory mandates saying you have to wear a mask, you have to get the vaccine. That's what we've never had. This is why people complain. And there he is complaining about the complainers. Those that would dare hold up the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, the freedoms enshrined in America's founding documents, and say, you can't make us do this. It's inexplicable. We've never had this before. So says Dr. Fauci, the career bureaucrat. He mentioned in his statement today, by the way, how much he's just loved being in the, no mention of Trump, at the outset of this pandemic. He skips right over Trump and says, oh, it's just been a delight to work with Joe Biden from day one of his administration. He just loves him some Joe Biden. Over at Reuters, this was a recent study. The Reuters fact checkers, they are in full swing trying to debunk all these facts that they find on social media that aren't facts at all. It says here, according to Reuters, a study of 301 teens in Thailand found mild and temporary heart rhythm changes after a second dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine among 1 in 6 teenagers, not one-third, as social media posts claim. So Reuters rushes in defense of the vaccine and says, look, it's not 1 in 3 teenagers that get an irregular heart pattern or heartbeat. It's only 1 in 6. Well, that makes everyone feel so much better. 1 in 6? If you're a parent of a teen, you're actually going to, after seeing the fact checkers spring to action, you're actually going to then take your teen to get a shot, to get the clot shot? Well, it's only 1 in 6 chance of my teen developing an irregular heart rhythm. To say nothing of the other problems, heart problems, blood clotting, and on it goes. These people, there's that one website, Low Budget, who's just keeping a track of all of these athletes. It's just the athletes, 847 that have dropped dead or have collapsed on the pitch, the field, the court. I'm not sure if all of them have died. I should have looked into that a little bit more closely. I think it is. They've just been keeping track. 847. And we're supposed to believe now that this is the kind of thing that just happens all the time. It's like the Washington Post after the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Hey, this is completely normal. That's what we're led to believe with respect to a 22-year-old athlete in the prime of his life just collapsing onto the pitch. Yeah, heart problems. Yeah, blood clotting. Or better yet, unknown causes we just don't know. This is the new normal. Athletes collapsing all over the place. There was this report from a week or two ago based upon the documents that Pfizer, you know, the ones that Pfizer wanted to keep away from general public's view for something like 75 years. Well, Naomi Wolf and others are working to try to get access to these documents. And one of them talked about how among pregnant women, it was a pretty small sampling, but among pregnant women, something like 44% had miscarriages after getting the vaccine. And again, fact checkers rush to the defense of Pfizer because that's what they do. Maybe it's not 44%. Maybe it's only 22%. Maybe it's only 15%. Have these people lost their minds? If it's 1%, you stay away from the vaccine. You don't want it killing you or your teenager or your unborn baby. Listen to this from GB News over in the UK. His name is Dr. Malhotra. He's on with Mark Stein. And listen to what he says about the vaccine, clip 8.
Certainly, vaccine injuries are a real thing. There's no doubt about it. The question is, what is the extent of those injuries and how does that balance against what the benefit of the vaccine is? And very eminent doctors, very eminent scientists, Peter Doshi, associate of the BMJ, Robert Kaplan from Stanford, in one of their preprint publications, they were able to get access to new data from Pfizer and Moderna original trials on the vaccine. And what they found is shocking. As you said earlier, that in the trial itself, it appeared that one was more likely to suffer a serious adverse event from the vaccine, so disability, life-changing event, hospitalization, than they were to be hospitalized from COVID. And that was during the more lethal strain.
Yeah.
Now, if this is true, and there's a good reason to suggest that it is, then it changes everything.
It should change everything. But the truth of it is, you're only going to get interviews like this on GB News, maybe Steve Bannon's podcast. It's not even going to be on Fox. In fact, Fox had a guy by the name of Steve Kirsch on. This was about a week and a half ago. I just haven't had time to get to these clips. But this is a big time, a former big time Democrat donor. And listen to what he said on Fox. I think this was August the 10th, clip 9.
The agencies, the FDA, the CDC, the NIH said that these vaccines were safe and effective. And when I started seeing my friends die and be injured, and I started looking at the data, there was no question that this vaccine is the most dangerous vaccine ever created by man. It is 1,000 times more deadly than the smallpox vaccine, and that's too unsafe for people to use. And I could not get even a single minute in front of any Democratic congressman.
The vaccine injuries are real. Here's a demo. He's donated $20 million to Democrat politicians. And he's there saying this vaccine is more dangerous than any other man-made vaccine in history. And he can't even get a Democrat. I presume ones that he's supported or funded. He can't get a Democrat in Congress to listen to him. And judging by what Kirsch wrote after this interview with Fox News, I don't think the Fox News people were anticipating him. I think they were more interested in the story of him flipping from Democrat to Republican. As it is, he goes on Fox News and he drops this truth bomb about the vaccine. And then they very, very quickly want to move on to the next subject. Listen again to Steve Kirsch from a week and a half ago, clip 10.
Well, and what I found was that hundreds of thousands of Americans have been killed by this vaccine, and millions have been injured.
And then the host there, Brian Kilmeade, goes on to say, well, now we can't verify any of that. Let's move along. Next subject. This was from Steve Kirsch at Substack. It says here, someone had to go on Fox News and tell the truth about the injury and death rates about the COVID vaccines. It's never been done before. They've censored all attempts or simply not allowed anyone on in the first place. And so Kirsch wrote this. He says, I took my shot and I got it on the air. For the first time in history, I explained just how dangerous the vaccines are, including the hundreds of thousands who have died and the millions who have been injured. I mean, these are serious charges. And of course, Media Matters and Mediaite, they come right out again, rushing to the defense of Big Pharma, rushing to the defense of Pfizer. It's so much of this. It's right in the documents that Pfizer produced and wanted to conceal. Look, if we're to symbolize truth in Big Pharma, or if we're to symbolize truth in the position of Anthony Fauci, let's open it up and see all the funding that went into that Wuhan lab. As it is, it's a big joke. Gain of function. Is it funny? Is it really funny? When you're talking about millions upon millions of people around the world suffering, the cure, it's so much worse than the disease. And the disease was bad. The disease was made by man. The disease was created in the communist state of China and then spread around the world from there. He says here, I offered Fox and Media Matters the opportunity to verify my other numbers. I even posted an article which showed the data backing up every key assertion I made. It says, after all, if I'm found to be telling the truth, that would be game-changing. Yeah, here again, yet another prominent individual or prominent critic of the experts saying this should be game-changing. As it is, you know, really, Fox News doesn't even want to go there. You know why? We played that montage before. Brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Pfizer. All of these media companies, they're getting millions, tens of millions in ad revenue from Pfizer and Big Pharma. And so don't buck the system. I mean, don't do anything that would dare put that revenue stream in danger of drying up. You want to keep the money coming in. I mean, we got to pay Brian Kilmeade. We got to pay all the other hosts. It says here, it's just that nobody in the world has any confidence that I actually got it wrong on any of these things. Not even Pfizer or Moderna will challenge me. This is Hirsch saying at his Substack piece, not even Pfizer will challenge me. They have the money to spare to clear their reputation and prove I'm a misinformation spreader. Why aren't they doing that? Why won't they come after me? He's basically daring them. Look, come after me. Disprove my figures here, my statistics. Why won't they do it? Why have they worked so hard to try to keep their internal documents from ever seeing the light of day? No wonder Fauci's. No wonder he's announcing today, you know what, I better step down before Republicans get control. I don't want to have to answer some of these questions that I know are going to be coming. Well, hopefully he'll be subpoenaed to testify even after the fact. He should be. This is what we wrote. Backing up, this is the Telegraph. This was in the Daily Telegraph just last week. It says here, the effects of lockdowns may now be killing more people than they are dying of COVID. So here you have Steve Hirsch, or rather that doctor on GB News, basically saying you're more likely to go into the hospital because of a vaccine injury than you are to go into the hospital because of COVID. Can you believe this? And then here comes the Telegraph saying, you know what? The lockdowns, they're causing more trouble than COVID itself. The cure is worse than the disease, just as we said. It says figures for excess deaths from the Office for National Statistics, this is in the UK now, show that around 1,000 more people than usual are currently dying each week in the United Kingdom. 1,000 more? I mean, that's going on now. You hear nothing about COVID anymore. Certainly not as much as we did 2 years ago. And the UK has opened its borders. You can travel in and out now. So everything's, you know, in some ways, it's back to normal. A lot of people over there have gotten the vaccine. But now this, 1,000 excess deaths. How is this happening? Well, we don't. With a lot of them, they're unknown causes. Oh, okay, they're unknown. I mean, this is scandalous. Something's causing this. You know, this article doesn't even go in the direction of the vaccine. They just, you know, they do focus on the lockdowns. Well, the lockdowns certainly have contributed a lot to people taking more drugs and getting more depressed and getting more just addicted to screen time. All of these things that have just hurt our society, that's just intensified the sickness from within, the cancer that spreads throughout our nations. Lockdowns have certainly contributed their part. But the elephant in the room with this article, this Telegraph piece, is maybe those excess deaths, maybe, just maybe, some of them are related to the clot shot, the two vaccine shots, and then the booster, and then another booster. It says here, but the figures suggest the country is facing a new silent health crisis linked to the pandemic response rather than the virus itself. I mean, that's straight out of the trumpet from more than 2 years ago. The cure, it's worse than the disease. The cure is killing us. That's what we titled it. May of 2020, tomorrow's news today. It says here, Dr. Charles Levinson, the chief executive of Doctor Call, a private GP service, said his company was seeing far too many cases of undetected cancers and cardiac problems, as well as a disturbing number of, I can't read it, it's in light blue text, but in any event, I need to print in black next time. Lots of problems. Vaccine injuries are real. They're real. They're hurting people. In the United States, one of the biggest side effects here, whether you look at the lockdown, or I guess if you just focused on the lockdowns, is all the drug overdose deaths. But what about the vaccine itself? This is what we wrote, May 2020. In many ways, it appears the ramifications of the reaction to the coronavirus will dwarf and far outlive the virus itself. I mean, we're talking about in the UK, 1,000, and there's only 65, 70 million people who live in the UK. It's about a fourth of the size of the United States. 1,000 excess deaths per week? Per week? Remember when we were following every single death from COVID? Remember when we were counting it one by one? CNN had the tracker, of course. You had the worldwide figures on the one side and then the U.S. casualty rate on the other side. I mean, they kept that going for months and months, or at least until Donald Trump's out of office. And then it's gone. Poof. And then it's gone. Even though more people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020. But never mind that. I mean, Biden's in the White House. So now it's the flu. Now it's just the flu. Now it's normal. And then the 1,000 excess deaths in the UK. It's completely normal. Well, they're unknown causes, so there are some question marks. But look, don't even print the word vaccine in this article. Not in this subject. It's just the lockdowns. This world, this is certainly not God's world. There's a war over the truth. And Fauci gets up there and says, I am the truth, basically, and then just laughs off the Wuhan lab, just laughs off COVID. Oh, yeah, I made the virus when I was making spaghetti one night. Very funny. Ha ha. I don't really find that funny. But at least we can find some comfort in the prophecies of God and in knowing that, just as Paul called it, science falsely so-called. This is a messiah. that people worship. It's a religion. It's a cult. Or at the very least, many of them are beholden to Big Pharma because they just make tens of millions of dollars. I've taken you through those figures before. Just how much Pfizer and company spend on advertising. Because, you know, they just want to help you. They spend tons of money on advertising. And Fox and these other stations benefit from that. At the trumpet, we said, in the end, will it prove to all be in hasty response to the equivalent of, as Dr. Fauci said, a bad flu season? A symbol of consistency, says the good doctor. Listen to this. This is from The Hill on Deborah Birx. She was Fauci's right-hand man or right-hand woman when the pandemic first sprung on the world. It says Dr. Birx, who served at the White House coronavirus response coordinator during the Trump administration, said on Sunday the fact that early data of the COVID-19 pandemic came from Europe should be an indictment of our system. You know, you have the CDC now backtracking or changing their standards, their regulations, their suggestions. And Dr. Birx now coming out and saying, yeah, you know, maybe we shouldn't have just followed right along with Neil Ferguson, you know, the philanderer in chief over in the UK. He established all these lockdown rules and didn't obey them himself. Listen to Dr. Birx from over the weekend, clip 14.
And that is one of the chief criticisms that you had. I mean, back in January of 2021, when we spoke, I remember you saying you didn't trust the CDC data that you were getting during the Trump administration. You said the ethnicity and race of COVID fatalities sometimes was delayed as many as 30 days. And you start going to the hospitals to try to get that data. So if Dr. Walensky's saying that this is a problem, how does she actually fix it? Are you saying that the government can't do it alone, that it needs private industry to step in?
Yes. And that was the way we were able to get the data. First and foremost, in March of 2020, all of our data that I used to warn Americans of who was at risk for severe disease, hospitalization, and death came from our European colleagues. That in itself should be an indictment of our system.
So now, I mean, she could be critical. She's out there writing her book. I'll get to that in just a second. But yeah, the CDC was, you know, keep in mind, the virus started in China and it spread through Europe and then eventually got to the United States. So I guess the information, just looking at it from their perspective. Okay, Europe's doing this. Neil Ferguson says millions and millions are going to die and we should lock down everything. Let's do it. Let's just go ahead and do it. And a few sane critics said, no, if we do that, that's going to make matters worse. They didn't listen. They just went barreling ahead. They followed after Neil Ferguson's, you know, the one that was just thoroughly disgraced, run out from office, or whatever position he had with that outfit over in the UK. How easy it is now for her to talk about the indictment against the CDC. They were slow going. We needed to act fast. Well, they sure did act fast. They lowered the boom on the Western economy. They shut the doors, literally, of hundreds of thousands of businesses, restaurants, stores, whatever. To say nothing of, again, all the side effects that came from the lockdown. Everybody holding up in their basement watching Netflix. What a disaster. And here, Fauci himself, not even that long ago, said, look, just calm down. If you got the infection, that's the best vaccine you can get. So, you know, you don't want to get sick, but if you got sick and you recovered, you're okay. Everything's fine. This is from the Brownstone Institute about Dr. Birx's new book. It says here, part of the fun of reading Snake Oil, how Xi Jinping shut down the world, I guess that's what he tongue-in-cheek names her book, is that you get to put yourself in the dictator's shoes. It says, in the book, Xi is an allegory for the Chinese Communist Party in the 21st century. Xi's lines break up the writing with dark humor, a satirical jab at Western elites. Let me just move on to what he says about her. It says, alas, in the end, my book has been upstaged by the work of Deborah Birx, White House coronavirus response coordinator, one of the trifecta of three leading officials behind COVID lockdowns in the United States. Virtually every page of Birx's monstrosity of a book, Silent Invasion, reads like a how-to guide in subverting a democratic superpower from within, as could only be told through the personal account of someone who was on the front lines doing just that. You know, you look at the attack from within, just like we've been saying, America under attack. Looks like that book, by the way, should be here this week. We'll keep you posted as we go. The 800 number, if you haven't ordered your copy yet, and I think we've already had almost 5,000, just ring in, asking for the new and expanded version. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. The title of this brownstone piece, Deborah Birx's Guide to Destroying a Country from Within. That's what these experts have done. They've helped to destroy a country from within. Birx, Fauci, of course, behind it all, you've got Obama and his people. You've got the communist networks, you know, the propagandists in news. They're working to destroy, to tear down. It's an attack from within. I mentioned last week, I think I did, that CNN fired Brian Stelter. He was on TV yesterday. His last show titled Reliable Sources, if you can believe it. This is clip one.
I know there's been a lot of angst about, for instance, calling Donald Trump, not on this network, but all over, a criminal. Well, you know, we called Nixon a criminal president in reporting on Watergate. In fact, he never was convicted of a crime, but he was a criminal president. Donald Trump is a serial liar, as I once called him on the air. And I said to myself, I hope that doesn't sound pejorative, because that's, and I reported, what most Republicans in the Senate of the United States regard him as. So I think we've got to do a better job explaining to our readers and our viewers what we do and how we do it. And at the same time, the bottom line has got to be the best obtainable version of the truth. And in fact, the truth is not neutral.
That's Carl Bernstein with Brian Stelter nodding along with his familiar, we should be stronger against the serial liar. Now, I'm not being pejorative, says Carl Bernstein. Not at all. I mean, we've got to come on stronger. So he goes out, Mr. Stelter, he goes out the way that he came in, or at least the way that it's been for 5-6 years. The same broken record, just all things bad orange, man. We've got to go out with all guns blazing, and he did before he got a little bit emotional toward the end of the show. This is clip six.
I believe America needs CNN to be strong. I believe the free world needs CNN to be strong, and it will continue to be, because all of us are going to help make that happen. The free world needs a reliable source. So, for reliable sources, for the last time, I'm Brian Stelter. Thanks for being with us.
The free world needs me, he says on his last program, because nobody watches him. The free world needs me. It's the same spirit. It's the same mindset as Dr. Fauci. All of them. We're saving the world. We're saving the world from Donald Trump. We're saving the world from COVID. We're saving the world with these miracle vaccines. You're destroying the world. You're hurting people. And then you're joking about it. As I say, the hubris here. You arrive at a point where nothing shocks you, and then the free world needs me. It's like Obama said. Back in 2008, 2009, you know, when he was going to change the tides of the oceans. Just fix everything. Global warming is, you know, moving those tides around. So he gets out of office and he, of course, buys a mansion on a beach. These people, these people. Listen to Liz Cheney from one of the shows over the weekend, clip three.
So you've said you're going to work against election deniers. If it's not Trump, and if it's somebody like Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, these are all people that have tied themselves very closely to Trump, will you oppose them? I mean, could you see yourself supporting any of them?
It would be very difficult when you look at somebody like Josh Hawley or somebody like Ted Cruz, both of whom know better, both of whom know exactly what the role of Congress is in terms of our constitutional obligations with respect to presidential elections, and yet both of whom took steps that fundamentally threatened the constitutional order and structure in the aftermath of the last election. So, you know, in my view, they both have made themselves unfit for future office.
What about DeSantis?
DeSantis is somebody who is right now campaigning for election deniers. And I think that is something that I think people have got to have real pause about. You know, either you fundamentally believe in and will support our constitutional structure, or you don't.
Same mindset, right? She gets shellacked. She's an incumbent, can barely even pull in 25% of the vote in Wyoming, her home state, supposedly. And yet, she's basically saying there, the free world needs me. It needs me. Certainly the United States needs me. I know which Republicans can have my support and which ones cannot. I'll vote Democrat. If it's Josh Hawley, you know, the jogger, the one, I don't know if you remember where you were the day you saw Josh Hawley's jogging in slow motion. At first, I just thought, well, this is not that big of a deal at all. But thanks to Brian Stelter, what really horrified me is the continuous loop. The loop, one jog after another jog. And then I came to understand, as they told me I should, this is serious. This is really serious. He was jogging right across the hallway. These people, they're the experts. We're saving the world. Thanks to us, even if you're beaten 80% to 20, you're still saving the world. That's the way they think. Someone asked Mitch McConnell about some of these races. Tucker, by the way, last week he talked about, you know, look, there's some races indicating that Republicans may not be performing quite as strong as we think they will be in November. Some of these races that have gotten a lot of attention in the last few weeks have been primary races. So we'll see. But then this, I think it was Friday when Mitch McConnell was asked about or questioned about whether the GOP would win in November. And here's the Senate minority leader basically saying, you know, well, we might pick it up in the House. I think the House is more likely. I mean, just about as half-hearted as you could imagine. And then he says, I'll just read the article. This was from Thursday, evidently. Publicly complained about the quality of GOP Senate candidates. He declared that a Republican U.S. Senate majority was not likely. Yeah, I know I'm the Senate minority leader, but, you know, the quality of candidates, I just don't know if we'll really do that well. What we've talked in recent weeks about, you know, a fighting spirit and showing some emotion, especially when you look at the dumpster fires all over the place. You would think Mitch McConnell would come out and say, I don't care what kind of candidate it is, it's going to get my hearty support. If he or she is a Republican, we have got to reverse some of this. We've got to do something about this disaster of disasters. The Joe Obama people, the country's going up in flames. But none of that. You know what's underlying these statements, and Sundance says as much over at Conservative Treehouse. It's the fact that these people, Liz Cheney's another one, they would rather Democrats win than these Republicans get in there who are not establishment, but rather they're Trump supporters. Donald Trump's taking over the Republican Party, and these dinosaurs like Liz Cheney and Mitch McConnell, they don't want that to happen. Secretly, behind closed doors, they actually like the fact that these federal bureaucrats, this Gestapo, that it just waltzes right into Mar-a-Lago, takes all the documents at once, and hopefully we'll find some kind of a crime. Just show me the man, I'll show you the crime. And they like it. These weak rhino Republicans, they like it. They like the police state tactics, as long as it gets Donald Trump out of the way. It says here at a Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce luncheon, McConnell claimed that, "I think there's probably a greater likelihood the House flips than the Senate. Why does he believe the GOP will not gain one seat in a year in which Biden has destroyed everything from border security to the economy?" He stated that Senate races are just different. Their statewide candidate quality has a lot to do with the outcome. He just doesn't like the quality of some of these candidates, I guess. It says here, he implied that many of the Republican Senate nominees are too conservative, too affiliated with President Donald Trump, and too likely to support Make America Great Again policies. We can't have that. We can't have MAGA supporters in Congress, in the Senate. So they'll withdraw their support from some of these Republicans in tight races and go ahead and just, you know, hold their nose and welcome in another good Democrat. Listen to Sundance. He's exactly right about this. And again, we talked about The Last Hour, my father's book, in one of the shows last week, and about how that if you remain neutral, if there's a war just raging on and you're on the sidelines in a position of neutrality, well, are you really fighting for the truth, or are you fighting against it? The context of my father's quotes from The Last Hour is that here was the Philadelphia Church of God fighting for Mystery of the Ages. Here was the Worldwide Church of God fighting to bury Mystery of the Ages. And then you have all of these other Laodicean groups that are just standing on the sidelines saying, you know what, we're kind of pulling for the Philadelphia Church of God. We'd kind of like to see Mystery of the Ages, you know, in circulation still. And as my father said, that position of neutrality, if you weren't helping to defend the truth, to fight for the truth, you're fighting against it. And we see so much of that in our nation today. Sundance says the GOP club would rather lose to Democrats than lose control of the club to its base. Electability boils down to the right kind of approved candidate. See, you've got to have the approved candidate. And Sundance has been all over the love for DeSantis of late, suggesting that, and again, I don't know enough about policies and all of the financial support coming from these big donors and such. But he's suggesting that, look, he's another establishment candidate, not unlike Ted Cruz back in 2015 and 16. Trump is very different. He leads a populist movement. Make America great again. Put America first. So many of these other Republicans, even the ones that sound so conservative, in fact, deep down in their heart of hearts, and again, like Donald Trump said, I played the clips for you on Friday, there are billions, even trillions of dollars at stake here. It's very important. It's very important that whether Republican or Democrat, that they're just a certain type. That's why McConnell, when he's asked about these races, can give this answer where you're just shaking your head in disbelief. Did he really say this? In this environment, with all of these disastrous policies all around from Joe Obama, and the most that he can do is say, maybe we'll get a few seats in the House, but, you know, the Senate's a different ballgame, and, you know, I don't think the quality of Republican candidates is very good. That's the way a rhino talks. That's the way someone who's neutral speaks. It says here, this is an accurate context for this midterm election cycle. Factually, the income stream for the RNC improves if they have the ability to campaign against the opposition club. The larger the outrage, the more substantial the fundraising. The corporation makes more money in defeat or in the minority than it does when it wins or holds majorities. As we have seen from their non-response to the FBI raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate, the GOP club would not be disappointed to see the DOJ take down Donald Trump prior to the midterm elections. That would not disappoint the GOP club, the grand old party, the establishment types like Mitch McConnell. That would not disappoint them at all. If the police state took out Trump, it says here in the national version of the Georgia result, there would likely be widespread voter anger and frustration if the DOJ indict President Trump and the Republican leadership pull the Ron DeSantis routine and stay hidden and silent. See, really, like he also brings out in other pieces, it's just one uniparty. You've got to be a member of the club. You've got to be establishment, or else you've got to go. Or else we'd rather have a Democrat in there. You think about, again, 2 Kings 14. It refers to the Jeroboam and God having to save Israel one last time. And how that there's the affliction is so bitter, and how that there's no helper. There's no help. Only God can flip this around. Only God can blow the lid off of all of this lawless corruption that you see all through D.C., all through leadership in the West. Leaders that have brought us the COVID, that have brought us the vaccines, that have brought us Joe Obama, that stole an election. You know they stole it just by the way they censor you if you talk about it. You could talk about it all you want. After 2016, yeah, I believe Trump's illegitimate. I believe he stole it. And that's fine. But you can't talk about it when these Democrats pull off the steal of a century, really the steal of American history. Worse, on a mass scale, certainly worse than what happened with Kennedy and his run against Nixon early on. It says, Let us also not be naive or intellectually dishonest with each other. The decision on whether to indict or not indict Donald Trump is going to be made by Democrats and Republicans alike. Personally, I worry that decision has already been made. Sometime around early June, when the DOJ first inspected the documents at Mar-a-Lago as part of a larger collaborative midterm strategy noted above. He says the picture would essentially be, have the DOJ remove Donald Trump, have the Republican leadership do nothing except express faux outrage at the outcome, and then watch as a blue wave midterm election benefits both Democrat and Republican clubs. Well, we'll see if that's how that this plays out. But again, we've got to also keep in mind God's perspective here, and what God has in mind, and where God will intervene, because he certainly is taking a keen interest in how these times, these days, these prophecies are unfolding, for sure. And if there's one thing about this attack from within, it really is revealing Obama and all of his fellows. It reveals who's neutral, and it reveals the very, very few. There's not that many of them. It reveals those who stand up and fight for the truth. Those who stand up and proclaim the truth. Who tell you about the attack. This is from Great Again. There is a spiritual dimension to America's decline, and most people do not see. The crisis facing this nation is not because of a bad president. The cause is far deeper, but most people are unwilling to see it. Many Americans realize that the nation is off track and suffering. You hear a lot of people speaking out about what ails America and how to fix it. It says a lot of Americans are upset and anxious about America's direction, but tend to view the biggest problems as more recent. You know, in other words, it's a political problem. And if we can just get Donald Trump back in, then everything's solved. It says here, Donald Trump's presidential campaign in 2016 captured the support of this segment of Americans. Mr. Trump does an admirable job of identifying these problems and addressing people's concerns. He really does do a pretty good job of identifying these problems. This attack, I played that for you in all those clips on Friday's show. Go back and look at our website, thetrumpet.com/live, to get to that Friday episode. And you see what Donald Trump was saying even as early as 2016, exposing all the fraud, the cover-ups, the double standard of justice, the corruption at the DOJ and the FBI. He certainly did. The only thing he said in that 2016 speech is that, you know, I knew it would be bad, but I didn't know it would be this bad. I didn't know that they would be this evil, that they would be this vicious. Well, why is it? It's because of sin, going back to the root cause, but also it's because they keep getting away with it. They keep getting away with murder, so they go right on murdering. They go right on assassinating. They go right on lying and waiting to deceive and talking about themselves all along as if they're defenders of truth and integrity and consistency. Hosea 4 and verse 1. Well, let me just give you this quote from the Ezekiel booklet. It says, when you see the way world events are unfolding, you know an explosion is about to happen. It's only a matter of when. See, when we see these events unfolding the way that they are, an explosion's coming, an explosion of violence. Hosea 4 and verse 1, it says, hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. See, God has a controversy with our nations because there's just no truth in the land. It doesn't matter how many times these liars get up and say, yeah, I'm a defender of truth. I symbolize truth. The free world needs me. The free world needs me to survive. They can say that until they're blue in the face. What does God say? God says, I have a controversy with the land. There's no truth. There's no knowledge of God. And so what does that lead to? Verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. See, what knowledge have we rejected? We're living in the information age. Most people have more knowledge, or at least information, in their back pocket than people had for centuries. Just the accumulated collection of knowledge. Of course, to go with it, there's not much wisdom, not much understanding, but certainly not much knowledge of God. The foundation of all knowledge. That's what God's talking about here. We're destroyed for the lack of godly knowledge, truth of God. Mr. Armstrong said in 1964, thoughtful men have said that knowledge is the one solution to our ills. Give us sufficient knowledge, they say, and all problems will be solved. He says, the knowledge acquired by these people has not brought world peace. It has not ended hunger and want. It has not brought health, happiness, and joy. We see examples of this. Tomorrow's News Today, he was well ahead of his time in writing that. And we certainly see examples of this everywhere we look today. Mr. Armstrong says, science does not have the answer. Science turns out to be a false messiah after all. It's just a false messiah. It's a false religion. People worship it. People worship the experts, even when they get it wrong, in spectacular fashion, over and over again. Look to God. Go to God. Reason together. I'll get to those verses maybe at a later time. But like it says in Isaiah 1, come, let us reason together with God to get truth and knowledge from Him, to get the foundational knowledge of God first. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. And we'll see you tomorrow.